I want to share with you a truly fascinating medrash in this week's parsha. When describing Aaron HaKohen entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner sanctuary, the Pasuk Tes Zayin Gimel uses the word bezos. Bezos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. The word bezos has the gematria, the numerical value of 410. The number 410, says the medrash, alludes to the number of years the first Beis HaMikdash stood. The first Beis HaMikdash stood from the Hebrew year 2935 and lasted until 3338, or the secular year 832 BCE until 422 BCE, lasting a whopping 410 years, alluded to by the word bezos. Reb David Pardo, an 18th century rabbi from the city of Sarajevo, in his Sefer Maskil LeDavid, explains that the Medrash means to say that all 410 years that the Beis HaMikdash was in service were credited to Aaron HaKohen. Year in and year out, it was as if Aaron was there, serving in the Beis HaMikdash. His presence was palpable. The question is why? What was it about Aaron that made him the supreme seminal figurehead whose personality inspired the Jews for the duration of the entire first Beis HaMikdash? Now, granted, he was the first Kohen Gadol, but there were plenty of other great Kohanim Gedolim, not to mention Moshe and Yoshua and Shmuel and David and Shlomo. How did Aaron earn this distinction? Why was he the one credited for the Beis HaMikdash for as long as it stood? Ever wonder why so many Gedolim, righteous sages, have lived such tremendously long lives? Why is it that the rabbinic leaders of the generation seem to have such incredible longevity? For example, the global leader of Jewry from the previous generation, the Chafetz Chaim, lived until almost 100 years old. The leader of the Jews living in Israel, Reb Shach, lived until 102, and he was succeeded by Reb Aaron Leib Steinman, who lived to the age of 103. One of the greatest sages of the last 100 years, Reb Elyashiv, lived to the age of 102, as did Reb Chaim Pinchas Steinberg. The leading halachic authority, Reb Vosner, lived until 100 years old, and Reb Kaduri, a leading Sephardic rabbi, lived until the remarkable age of 108. The current leader of the Torah Jews in Israel, Reb Gershon Edelstein, is 100 years old, and the current leader of American Torah Jewry is Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, and he is 98 years old. This is not a new phenomenon. Hillel lived to the age of 120, as did Reb Yochanan, Reb Akiva, and Reb Yehuda HaNasi. There seems to be a massively disproportionate number of holy leaders that lived incredibly long lives. Why is that? Now, of course, obviously, they please Hashem with their Torah learning and acts of kindness, and he therefore grants them longevity. True. But is there perhaps another layer to it? Something deeper? I believe there is. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, states something that is seemingly obvious. It says, one should strive to have friends. Kenei lecha chaver. So the Rosh in his Sefer Orchas Chaim explains that this Mishnah is saying something novel and fascinating. He says that more than merely giving us practical advice, promoting the concept of living a vibrant social life and saving one from living hermetically like a hermit, the Torah is actually offering us a powerful method in attaining a longer life. How so? Because Hashem in his unparalleled supreme justice will never cause pain to an individual, even if that person deserves it, if another person who is undeserving of pain will be negatively affected by it. Hashem will never allow a man to go to jail or get hurt or die if his sentence, his injury, or his death will cause unjust pain to that individual's spouse, his family, his friend. Conversely, if Hashem does place pain on an individual and thus causes pain to his immediate surroundings, it is indicative that the spouse, the family, or the friend deserves to a certain extent that pain for not rebuking or standing up to or inspiring the relative of the friend. Hence, the more friends one accumulates, says the Rush, the more people his death would pain, and in turn, the less likely Hashem is to cause the death to occur. It comes out that in a slightly roundabout way, acquiring friends is acquiring life. For the more people that love and respect and need you, the less likely it is that Hashem will take you away from them. No one has more people under their umbrella than a gadol, a leader, a man whose every heartbeat is for Klal Yisrael, a man who lives and breathes for the Jewish people, a man who uses every moment of his day, every vestige of his strength to think of how he can help teach and love and nurture Klal Yisrael. Such a man's death would cause incalculable waves of pain that would reach the four corners of the Jewish globe. Such a person, Hashem has a hard time taking away. So therefore, they live remarkably long lives. Aaron HaKohen was the supreme paradigm of love and kindness. He was the ultimate peacemaker. He would cry with the widow. He would encourage the downtrodden. He would do everything he could to ensure that families experience nothing but harmony. The Medrash says that when Aaron died, his coffin was accompanied by 80,000 boys, all named Aaron. All were born to parents whose marriages were saved due to Aaron. All born to marriages that were once on the brink of destruction until Aaron came and saved the day. And so they were named in his honor. 80,000 boys, and not just the boys. He so embodied the idea of loving peace that when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos beckons us to be nice and kind, it doesn't just merely say so. It doesn't just say, be nice and kind. Rather, it tells us to emulate Aaron. So effective was Aaron at spreading love and peace that he literally became the definition of it. Aaron's love and peace was so widespread that its ripple effects lasted generations. His warmth and kindness echoed for centuries. Those who witnessed the love and respect he exuded when he served as Kohen Gadol were so awestruck that they were inspired to act the same. That, in turn, spilled over to their kids and their grandkids, creating generations of peaceful, harmonious people. His inspiration was so dramatic that the Medrash says that the entire first Beis HaMikdash, all 410 years of it, was built on the foundation of love that he erected. Peace is where our nation flourishes the most. Peace in the home, peace in the streets, peace in the offices, in the kitchens, in the coffee rooms, in the shuls. We need it desperately. How many families were ripped apart due to strife and fights? How many holy marriages were destroyed due to machlekes? How many glorious institutions got smothered by the ashes of internal squabbling? Peace is essential for our continuity. Those that promulgate it reside in a very special place in the hearts of man. Their lives and their inspiration last centuries. The largest yeshiva in the world is the Mir Yeshiva. It is also one of the oldest. Of the hundreds of yeshivos that stood tall in the glorious days of European Jewry, virtually all of them were decimated in the Holocaust. Not so the Mir. It was saved. With unimaginable miracle upon miracle, the entire yeshiva fled to Japan and hid out the warriors there. Its learning never stopped, its flame never diminished. Why? Why were they saved while the rest were not? What was it about the Mir that protected it from the rabid jaws of European destruction? Perhaps the following idea will explain. Of all the traits that the Mir yeshiva personifies, there seems to be one that rises above the rest. That trait is its unwavering dedication to peace at all cost. Staunch, steadfast dedication to peace and ensuring that it exists no matter what. The founder of the yeshiva, Rebbe Eliezer Yehuda Finkel, was never a man to let honor get in the way of spreading Torah. Despite being the leader of the entire yeshiva and the central figure in it, he happily hired a new leader, the younger and more energetic Reb Yerucham Levavitz, who instantly became the draw of the yeshiva. Reb Lazer Yudel was there to bring honor to heaven through spreading Torah values. If it meant hiring someone who would become more popular and more effective in doing so, then so be it. All of this is for Hashem. The Mir was a yeshiva that stood for peace. Not once did a petty fight break out amongst the staff, a fact that is as rare as it is beautiful. When a Jordanian rocket was fired in the direction of the Mir during the Six-Day War, it merely bounced right off the side of the building. A place that stands for peace is blessed with longevity. Its inspiration knows no bounds. It is where Hashem wants to place his presence. It carries us on its wings, and in turn, Hashem carries it on his. Listen to this unbelievable story, a truly unbelievable story. The city of Auschwitz was a typical one in Poland before the war. Not too big, not too small. Everyone knew everyone. The Jews were happy. All of that horrifically change with an episode that had global consequences, which would wreak havoc in the entire Jewish world. One ordinary day, the rabbi took issue with something that the town sheichet, the ritual slaughterer, was doing, and publicly declared that his shechita, his slaughter, was no longer trustworthy. This sparked many conversations in the tavern and in the back bench of the shul. First there were murmurings, then there were rumblings, and then there was like an all-out verbal war that took place, with some people defending the rabbi and others defending the sheichet. The climax was on Rosh Hashanah, when moments before shofar blowing, the Rav got up to call out Tkias. A man from the back of the shul yelled out, "Who do you think you are to ruin a simple person's life like that? Get out of town!" Immediately, things heated up and the verbal jabs turned into an all-out physical brawl in the middle of the shul. Punches were thrown, benches were flipped over, things escalated into such violence that the police were called in to restore order. Immediately afterwards, the Rav ran to his house, packed a suitcase, and walked out of town, only to collapse dead on the road from a heart attack. Now, you may not have heard of this town, but you have certainly heard of what this town became. A few months later, the town of Izhbitz was taken over by the Nazis. Electric fences were erected, railroads were built, and the name was changed from Izhbitz to Auschwitz. The sleepy little town, ravaged by machlokes and bickering, became the largest death factory in human history. And those horrid gas chambers, the place where millions upon millions of Jews were ripped out of their souls, were ripped out of their holy bodies, were built on the exact spot that the shul had stood only a few months prior, the exact same spot. Machlekes tears us apart. It causes a thick blanket of darkness to descend upon the earth. Bitter fights destroy everything in its path, leaving room for nothing except the angel of death. The very place that Hashem chose to erect the Beis HaMikdash was on a field owned by two brothers who loved each other to such a tremendous degree that every night one would secretly sneak across the other one's portion to bring him an extra stalks of grain. Their love knew no bounds, and hence Hashem erected his house upon their field. Sadly, our bickering, our squabbling, our sinas chinam burned the house down, the house that was carried on the shoulders of Aaron's love and kindness. For thousands of years, every tefillah of every minyan, of every shul, and every corner of the globe ends exactly the same way with the exact same words. Oyseh shalom b'mreim of Hashem, the God of ultimate peace, who yaseh shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. We plead, we cry, we pray for peace. Peace amongst our neighbors, peace amongst our rabbanim, peace amongst our institutions, and peace amongst our shuls, peace amongst our couples, and peace amongst our children. We take three steps back, and we bow to the left, and we bow to the right, and we beg Hashem to spare us the pain of machlekes in all directions of the world. We look up and we hope that our lives will be long and plentiful with nothing but peace for us and our entire nation and the entire shul, no matter if they are young or old, Ashkenazi or Sephardi, modern or traditional, Chassidish or Misnagdish, Yekish or Litvish or Haimish, every single one of them, says Amen.